You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Adam Vingan from The Athletic dropping by at 9:30. We'll continue the conversation on the Nashville Predators with him. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Also streaming live today on Periscope, on Twitch, and on YouTube. So you can check out our beautiful faces while listening to the show on social media. We have those streaming options for you as well, as addition to listening on the Game Nashville app and on the radio as well. Joe Rexrode really eating up the camera here. Loving it.
Should I just do a whole segment just preening, preening for the camera, let you talk?
Hey, maybe so.
Would you rather watch me doing that or listen to your takes? I would rather listen to your takes. I'm just saying, quickly. I was just trying to think of the Bayless Stillman, you know.
By the way, I sent you a nice post about Skip Bayless earlier in the show.
You did.
Shirtless Skip Bayless.
Skip Bayless is ripped, man.
Yeah, he is.
He's looks, ripped.
You're not messing with Skip Bayless. He'll come in there and whoop you.
Is that what Stillman's doing? Is he? He's trying to chase him in every way, in every facet of life.
The takes?
Skipman.
The body type? The workout regimen? All of it on the table.
I'm not one to talk about physical shape.
Me either.
But Jared, you got a little bit of ways to go to get to that six-pack of Skip Bayless, man.
You know, for his age, Skip Bayless looks pretty good. I'll give him that.
He's grinding.
He is grinding. That's in the weight room every day.
That's good because it takes him like 10 seconds to come up with his terrible takes.
That's true.
He's got an extra time.
He does.
A new way to spin like LeBron's not good.
That's right. Thanks to Matt Duchesne for joining us in the last segment. I thought some really candid and open comments there from Matt Duchesne about what it's like for players this time of year going through the trade deadline stuff, and also good news on the injury front that he's been skating. Feels like, you know, he's almost going full bore out there. Probably would not be able to play as of yet, but hopefully when the Predators come back from their road trip, he's close to being able to come back. So some good news on the injury front from Matt Duchesne as well.
Yeah, and like you said, he's got company, so he's not out there rehabbing and skating alone. So, no, he had some interesting. I mean, Duchesne, I think, always is interesting. You know, he's a good interview and interesting thoughts there on the whole trade situation and even the whole GM letting you in on what's going on. Is Poile doing this? He didn't tell us if Poile's telling him. Of course, it's a little early on that front, but
yeah.
The Kraken may enter the picture at some point here.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texts in and says, random shout out to Joe. I won a free bagel last week when I bet that he would accidentally mute himself. Too bad it was a blueberry bagel with strawberry cream cheese. So you're providing free food now from Heidi and Dixon because of your inability to operate a microphone.
You bet someone you were listening with?
The odds were -150 on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
I don't believe you, Heidi. I don't believe you at all. Until you call in, you are George Glass, Heidi. You are George Glass.
Got to call in at some point, Heidi. Really just get in here, and I'll just turn it over to Heidi if she calls in. You and Joe, that offer is on the table.
Blueberry, what? Blueberry bagel, strawberry?
Yeah, strawberry cream cheese.
Sounds pretty good right now.
Yeah, it does. Joe, let's get back into the Tennessee Titans. The news of the day. And that is Adoree Jackson is cut. Dennis Kelly is cut as well. And Janoris Jenkins coming into the fold for the Titans. Let's start with just your reaction to Adoree and Dennis Kelly on the way out. We talked about it to begin the show. I was sitting there just kind of looking around at everything happening in NFL free agency. And there started to be some talk on Twitter about something coming down the pipe for the Titans and maybe to brace yourself on social media. And then all of a sudden, they announced that Adoree Jackson and Dennis Kelly have been released. I was kind of blown away. Like, when they made the decision to release Malcolm Butler, I just operated under the assumption that, okay, they're going with Adoree Jackson. That's going to be how they handle that side. They're going to see what he looks like maybe when he's fully healthy. And then who knows, maybe you can work out a long-term deal with Adoree Jackson at that point. That was not to be. He's gone. Dennis Kelly gone as well, which was totally out of left field for me. I was very surprised with the moves the Titans made yesterday.
Yeah, I was very surprised too. Like you said, thought it would be one of the two at corner. They are totally changing their secondary. And like Jonathan Joseph, yes, put anybody in there. He was a problem last year. Malcolm Butler's not perfect. He was not a problem last year. Malcolm Butler was really good last year. But you know what? I thought that was going to be the choice. It was, except it wasn't a choice at all. They were both the choice.
Yeah.
And that's a reality of the cap situation. The Dennis Kelly thing is something that I cannot totally understand. And you are, to me, you're chipping away at an offensive line. As much as you can keep intact from that offense, I think it's a good idea. And now you're chipping away at an offensive line for a career backup to come in at not that much cheaper of a price. I don't understand it. I would like, as it's NCAA tournament week, Robbie, I would like to, I'm just coming up with this on the fly. Who are your one seeds for Titans under the most pressure in 2021?
Ooh.
Who are your number one seeds? See, Porth's like, oh, that could be a poll.
Rashawn Evans is a one seed. I would put him as a one seed under the most pressure.
Okay.
And you got to prove that you need another deal here in Nashville. So he would be a one seed in my mind. I mean, I guess a quarterback's always under pressure, but he's really not.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it can be difficult.
We're going strictly players here?
Nah, because
no,
well,
whole thing.
Yeah, because
I mean, J Rob's got to be a one seed, right?
Well, but see, okay,
Vrabel.
J Rod is the. I just called him J Rod. Sorry,
Mike Vrabel is absolutely
sorry
a one seed.
Vrabel,
absolutely a one seed.
But what about Downing and Bowen?
That is contributing to Vrabel being a one seed.
That's a good point.
So
those are his hires.
So it's just Vrabel gets the one seed.
These are his guys.
Those are like the guys off the
bench. Yes.
Because okay. I look at, Bowen to me. We've been talking about Downing. It's like, oh hey, just keep scoring 30 a game and you take stuff away from him and it makes it more difficult. Bowen to me, these moves, the entire defensive makeover, is very much a Bowen was no problem at all last year. So I might give him his own separate. But I hear what you're saying. You could just go Vrabel.
You can make an argument. Bud Dupree's a one seed, too.
He just got paid.
Well, sure.
Well, I was just going to bring up Dupree.
Well, I would also say, what about Christian Fulton?
Yeah.
You're a second-round pick. You were banged up last year. You didn't get a play. I mean, you are now the anchor of the secondary. Look, Janoris Jenkins has had a very good career. That's a solid signing. I think he's pretty good. But to me, right now, your corner group is anchored by Christian Fulton.
Yeah.
I mean, he is.
How many one seeds
he has
do we
got
get?
To be? Well, right. That's.
I mean, where does Kevin Byard list in this? I mean, he's like the only member left in the secondary.
Yes.
Well, and the thing is, if you project us a little bit down the road, we're seeing these big salaries cut. Taylor Lewan and Kevin Byard are guys who got deals from John Robinson, but also you got to keep justifying that money because it can be spent on three different players. If you're not elite, if you're not an elite left tackle, which last time we saw Taylor Lewan, he was.
Right.
So I expect him to be that in 2021. Kevin Byard was not an elite safety last year. He's got to be elite this year. So, yeah, good choice too. So we have 17 one seeds.
Yes.
That could be a good bracket.
Yeah, I guess with all those names in the fold, Rashawn Evans maybe not on the list for one seeds, but it's a huge year for him.
Well, it is. It is a huge year. Now, they are not going to pick up his option.
No.
So
talking about just staying here.
Yeah. Well, sure. Now, if you're him, maybe you're like, well, you don't get the option picked up a lot of times. See that guy walk,
sure.
Right? But his spot in the league is very much up for grabs right now, and what kind of player he is, where he's tiered, what his next deal is going to look like. I'd say Jeffrey Simmons too is a guy who, those are the two first round picks that are left on the team for John Robinson. Six guys he's taken, two are left. So there's pressure on them. So I mean, to me, like Robinson, I take him out of the equation once we get to the fall. He's putting together the team now. Right now, he's the I mean, he's the overall one. He's Gonzaga right now.
Yeah.
Except he's not undefeated.
He's not.
But he's not done either.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. We'll revisit the poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. And also visit a text message on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com that is guaranteed to fire up Joe Rexroad. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Preds fans, join 1025 The Game tonight from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live. Ryan Johansson, Ellie Tolvanen, a part of Smashville Live tonight with Chase McCabe and Chris Mason. Going to be a good one tonight. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 1025 The Game during the Preds season and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can also watch the show online via 1025 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Go
ahead.
Before infuriating me with Ben, I'd throw out there real quick. Slot corner, Justin Coleman, Lions.
Yep.
Dolphins 1 year, 2.75. He was going to make 7 and count 9 to the cap. So there's a little glimpse of the corner market.
And
he's not very good.
He's not. Now, some Titans fans did throw him out as maybe a fit here, mainly because he used to play at Tennessee. I think it's probably the main storyline there. But now ending up with the Miami Dolphins. So good for Justin Coleman. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texted in, and we were talking in the last segment about the number one seeds for the Titans in terms of the most pressure next year. Ben says, the most pressure is for Tannehill to not be a playoff ghost. He wasn't the reason for the wins, and he was the reason for the playoff losses. Tannehill has never won a playoff game for us.
Oh, God. It's just dumb. I mean, I feel bad for Ben, actually. Now, listen, I think it's fair to say Tannehill has to play better than he played in the loss to Baltimore.
Sure.
That was the last glimpse we saw of Tannehill in the playoffs. It wasn't good enough. So that's fair. No, I don't think anybody here is saying he is infallible and just perfect. But, again, if you think that about the two wins over Baltimore and New England, like you didn't watch, you were hammered, you had too much green beer that day, I don't know. Tannehill made tons of huge plays, including late throws to move the chains in New England, including the red zone throw to Ferkser, including the red zone throw to Jonnu Smith, including the bomb to Cleve Raymond. No, he didn't have huge numbers. Great. So look at the final score and look at his stats and tell us you know nothing about football. I don't know. I don't know what else to help people with on this. Tannehill won both those games, deserves to have W's next to his name last year.
Now, maybe he was not the primary reason for victory in those games. I mean, Derrick Henry was pretty good. But that doesn't mean that you just totally take away everything that Ryan Tannehill
right.
did.
So Tom Brady goes to Green Bay and is, like, throwing picks all over the field. But, oh, the GOAT! You know, because Aaron Rodgers couldn't set up in the pocket.
Right.
So that, whatever. You know, spin it however you want to spin it. This is a team sport, and very rarely does the quarterback alone win you a game. Yeah, Derrick Henry was the star of those wins, no doubt about it. It does not mean Tannehill wasn't the winning quarterback. It doesn't mean he didn't make winning plays. He was crucial in those wins. But let's look at the stats.
Hey, got to have better stats, I guess.
Got to have better stats.
What's it take
Lamar
for Tannehill?
Lamar Jackson had way better stats than Tannehill in that playoff game, so I guess, you know.
What's it take for Tannehill to get the respect he deserves in the playoffs? He's got to throw for like 350 and 4 touchdowns?
I guess so.
That's a new bar.
I guess so.
Hey,
I mean, look, I understand this. I mean, you know, these were running game wins, but you can't find me a big win in the NFL where a quarterback had nothing to do. I mean, like, go back through like Brad Johnson with the Blast Bucks championship. He made some big throws.
Yeah,
he's never going to go down as an all time great. He's going to go down as maybe the worst quarterback to win a Super Bowl. But like, you can't win these games without quarterback play.
Let's revisit our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. And today's question is this. Which Titans cut have you disagreed with the most this offseason? And the options are Malcolm Butler, Adoree Jackson, Dennis Kelly, or other. 292 votes are in. 61% going with Dennis Kelly. 17% say Malcolm Butler, 15% say Adoree Jackson, and 7% say other. So I find two things about this poll very interesting. Number one, Dennis Kelly is the runaway winner in this poll, which while I agree with that, I'm surprised just based on the star power of the other two names that are on there. But also, we did a poll last week about who you'd rather cut between Malcolm Butler and Adoree Jackson, and Malcolm Butler won the poll in terms of people would rather cut him, and now people are more upset that he's been cut than Adoree Jackson. I don't understand it. Explain this to me, Rex Rode.
Interesting. Good recall on the results of last week. I don't know. I can't explain it for you. Different people voting?
Maybe so.
I don't know.
Breaking news on the Titans front as well. Paul Kuharsky reporting that the Titans have a one-year deal with Anthony Firkser. So we saw yesterday that Jeff Swain back in the fold at tight end. You've lost Jonnu Smith. Paul Kuharsky reporting that the Titans have a one-year deal with Anthony Firkser.
That is a good development for them. So Swain, Firkser. I could see Pruitt maybe being the odd man out. You know, maybe and a little bit more applied to someone you want to be the number one tight end. I think Pruitt's really good. He's been a really nice pickup for them. Emergency pickup when Delanie Walker got hurt in that game at Miami when he was on the practice squad in Houston. But Firkser was the more important one to sign, no question about it. Now, he's not Kenston. I don't think he's Frank Wycheck or, you know, Travis Kelce or whoever, but he's a big part of this passing game. As much as you can retain from this offense, you know, the better.
Now the question is, are you going to be able to hold on to Michael Pruitt as well? You've got Swain back in the fold, Anthony Firkser. I still think it's important if you can find a way to do it to get Pruitt back, both what he can do for you blocking, but also, I mean, and you've talked about this too, he's underrated, I think, catching the ball and coming out and running some routes. I understand that it's not a primary part of the Titans' offense is throwing the ball to Michael Pruitt, but I think an underrated guy in that area.
Yeah, they haven't used him a lot, but certainly monster college career as a pass catcher at Southern Illinois University. Shout out to Corey Curtis. And could be used more in that way. So will be interesting to see. Again, that's another position I think the draft could bring someone, but it doesn't seem to be a great tight end draft.
Well, it doesn't. And also, I mean, you've got so many other needs at this point. We talked about cornerback and wide receiver. You know, Jim Nagy told us earlier that you can find some really good offensive linemen in this draft, maybe up to the third round, that could come in and help you right away as well. So maybe that's a route you explore if you're the Titans now that Dennis Kelly is no longer in the fold as well. I do wonder, like, and we've had some people bring this up, George Kittle selected in the fifth round. Travis Kelce, I believe, was in the third round. You can find, I mean, Jonnu Smith was in the third round as well. You can find some tight ends a little bit later in the draft. That's still, to me, really important for this group because I don't think Anthony Firkser needs to be the number one tight end. As good as I think it is, as they've got him back in the fold, and I think he'll be a heavy part of the passing game this year as well, and I think it's become, at times, a safety blanket for Ryan Tannehill out there. He's not a number one tight end to me. You've still got to find a way to go out and address that. And maybe it's a veteran that you can get on the cheap and whose best days are behind him. I don't know. But to me, you can't just roll with Anthony Firkser as your number one tight end.
I like your Cameron Brate idea. Cameron Brate is a really good player.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Tampa Bay is not signing him, right?
I mean, he's under contract at the moment. But
I thought he was a free agent.
No, he's got another year left on his deal.
Why do I keep thinking people are free agents who aren't free agents?
But they've also got to cut. I mean, you can't keep everyone.
Yeah, that's
right. They've already restructured his deal once. You can't do it again. I mean, I guess you could. He's not going to do it again, though.
Yeah, and that's probably the Brate thing is that he's a popular candidate to be cut.
And you've brought Gronkowski back at this point already anyway. So you've got Gronk there as well. I mean, isn't O.J. Howard still there? Like, isn't he a guy that's still there, too? I mean, you've got a whole lot of tight ends where it just doesn't make any sense to keep all of them.
Weren't they going to trade O.J. Howard last offseason, and then they kept, like, seven tight ends?
Yeah.
He's talented, too. I mean, I think he could be doing more somewhere, but it makes sense for them financially to keep him and move Brate.
And now, especially with some other moves that the Bucs could make, like, you know, Tannenbaum was talking yesterday about maybe the Patriots, with all the moves that they've made and the tight ends, maybe you part ways with Julian Edelman and he becomes available, if Julian Edelman became available, I have a pretty good idea of where he might end up. Probably with Tom Brady, be my guess.
Yeah. Yep.
So you can't do all that and then keep Cameron Brayton fold as well, would be my guess. Maybe you can. I mean, they found a way to keep everybody else at this point, so maybe you just keep adding if you're Tampa Bay.
Your Packers are keeping everybody.
Yeah.
All these people you keep thinking that they were going to cut.
Yeah. Maybe Adoree ends up there. Kevin King's going to be gone today.
Would you, as a Packers fan, would you embrace Adoree Jackson as a starting corner?
Depends on what his number looks like, but he's better than Kevin King, yeah. I'll give you that. So Jaire Alexander on one side, Adoree on the other side? Sure, I'll take that.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
Someone's giddy about Adoree Jackson being available.
I'm interested to see what
he takes a lot of crap in this market.
I'm interested to see what the number looks like for Anthony Firkser. Paul Kaharsky reporting it's a one-year deal. I'm interested to see what the money looks like from Firkser. I mean, it's not going to be a lot, but exactly what is his value
three?
For Anthony Firkser?
Maybe three.
Around there. That would be my guess.
Three with incentives, something like that.
Hey, he became the glorified slot receiver last year for the Titans. So hopefully you can address that position. He doesn't have to do that this year, but look, guy's proven he can catch the ball. He was great in that Texans game here. Lit him up. Over 100 yards.
He's been – we've talked about the first-round picks today a lot who have been fails, and you can't fail that much in the first-round picks. But Firkser is on that short list of best, you know, underrated finds out of nowhere.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texts in and says, "Do your research, Joey." Calling you Joey and not knowing that Cameron Brayton wasn't a free agent. Yeah, Joey, do your research, man.
I'm going to stop responding to the texts from Heidi.
Just from Heidi?
Until there's a call.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to have it out. We're going to have it out person to person.
All right. We'll see if we can make that happen and get that set up. When we come back, we will switch gears and get into the Nashville Predators. Adam Vingan from The Athletic will join us. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, and streaming live on Periscope, on Twitch, and on YouTube. So our pretty face is available for all to see, and a guy who can't see our pretty faces right now is on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Adam Vingan from The Athletic, who joins us each and every Wednesday here at 9:30. Adam, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I mean, I can see your pretty faces if I just go onto Periscope.
It's true.
Yeah, how did you know he wasn't watching? Do you know he hasn't been watching the whole day?
That was a poor assumption
on
my part.
That's a nice plaid shirt you've got on, Robbie.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well done, Adam. Nicely done.
What do you think about my outfit?
Just starts laughing.
It's a typical waking up at 6 a.m. dad outfit.
There you go.
I'm wearing green.
Adam, what's this week like for you with the NCAA tournament getting underway and the Duke Blue Devils not being a part of it?
It is quite disheartening and weird. I mean, it's been, 25 years since Duke last failed to qualify for the NCAA tournament, so it is quite odd to watch a tournament with no rooting interest. But I still will because I love March Madness.
Of course.
So that was the year Krzyzewski tried to pawn off those losses on somebody else, right?
Well, what year would that have been? 94?
96? 95?
96? Well, I was 7 or 8 years old at the time, so it was beyond me.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Another reminder of how old Joe Rexroad is.
Pleading youthful ignorance.
Yes, my first vivid memory is my dad calling me from Tropicana Field after Duke lost into UConn in the 1999 championship game. I think he might have been crying, but I'm not sure. But, you know.
First championship game I covered. That was amazing.
Yeah. Hey, good times of yesteryear.
I still don't like hearing about the likes of Khalid El-Amin and Richard Hamilton. I think Jake Voskel
crushed Duke that night. Man, Jake Voskel.
Just a heartbreaking night for young Adam Vingan there on the program.
That might have been Duke's best team. Just saying.
Adam,
speaking
of what we brought you on to talk about, the Nashville Predators, Matthias Ekholm continues to be heavily involved in trade rumors, and the price right now reported to be out there from Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, pretty high, but I think not surprisingly so. If you're the Predators trying to trade Matias Ekholm. As you look at this process of the Predators and Matias Ekholm being, I think, the number one target, at least among defensemen, maybe in the entire league, at the NHL trade deadline, what sort of a haul should you try to hold out for if you're the Predators?
Well, I think Elliot, in his latest 31 Thoughts column, referred to Matias Ekholm as the bell of the deadline ball, and I would agree with that. I mean, we've talked about how he is number one on the Athletic's NHL trade deadline big board, and about a month ago, I wrote a story talking about the five Predators players who I would move before the deadline, and then talking to people around the league, that Jake Muzzin trade with the Toronto Maple Leafs between the Kings and the Maple Leafs in, I think it was January 2019, came up in conversation more than once in terms of what the baseline should be for a potential Ekholm deal, which was a first-round pick and two prospects, one forward prospect and one defensive prospect. And I think that is what, as I just said, the baseline should be. I mean, I think a first-round pick absolutely has to be part of the return. I think if it isn't, then I think the Predators should move on to somebody who's willing to give up a first-round pick. And I do believe that they should be looking for high-quality prospects, or at least one high-quality prospect, maybe one mid-quality prospect if there are two prospects involved in the trade. But when you consider just how coveted Matias Ekholm seems to be around the league, absolutely. I mean, the Predators should not budge from their asking price. There are plenty of teams that want a player like Matias Ekholm. Elliott has reported the likes of the Boston Bruins, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Winnipeg Jets. If there's going to be a bidding war, then they should absolutely take advantage of it.
Is there a way to have a successful rebuild without trading Matias Ekholm? Do you have to trade him?
I feel like if you are serious about retooling this team, I think you have to. And one thing that you have to consider, of course, and all of these teams have to consider when making trades at this deadline, is the Seattle expansion draft. And, Matias Ekholm, is a player that, if he is no longer on the roster, simplifies the Predators' approach to that expansion draft, because they can protect three defensemen, Roman Josi, who of course has to be protected, Ryan Ellis and Dante Fabro. Then they can protect seven forwards if they can find seven forwards worth protecting. Absolutely. I think when you think about the other players who might be on the block, Mikael Granlund, Nick Cousins, Eric Halla, those players bring back, mid-round picks, maybe in the case of Granlund, a second-round pick or, something like that. But, Matias Ekholm absolutely has the most value. So I think if this team is serious about retooling, rebuilding, whatever you want to call it, I think trading Matias Ekholm has to be part of that process.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Adam, you bring up Granlund there, and I thought it was interesting yesterday, Kyle Dubas, the GM for the Toronto Maple Leafs, saying he's open to trading some prospects and would like to make a deal for a forward ASAP. Obviously, with the quarantine situation in Canada, that kind of speeds up the timeline on this as well. And Granlund is a guy that you have kind of pieced together that could be a good fit for the Maple Leafs. What do you think of that idea? Do you think Granlund would be high in terms of the target list for Toronto?
I do, because as you mentioned, another thing that I think Kyle Dubas, the GM of the Maple Leafs, said yesterday is that he's looking for rentals. I think he's looking for, a player that does not – first of all, he's looking for forwards. He said that's his priority. And two, he said that he's looking – I believe, if I recall correctly, he's looking for rental players.
Yeah.
So that the expansion question – that doesn't factor into the expansion question. So Granlund checks off a lot of those boxes. And I did a story – about a week and a half ago with one of our Maple Leafs reporters, James Myrtle, where we looked at how Granlund could fit. And James has said that the Maple Leafs were one of the teams that was interested in Mikael Granlund in free agency before Granlund decided to re-sign with the Predators, as we know, sort of surprisingly. There seems to be some interest there. So it would make a lot of sense, for Granlund to go to Toronto. I think he could play in their top six. I'm very interested to see what, Granlund could do with a player like John Tavares or Austin Matthews or William Nylander, Mitch Marner. I think he could fit in with that group. So, if another team you need to put on that list, I think, the New York Islanders, they just announced within the past hour that Anders Lee, their captain, is out for the season after undergoing ACL surgery. So they'll be looking forward to fill that role. And I think Granlund's so a different player than Anders Lee, you know, could be a player that they could be interested in.
You just brought up an interesting point. We've been playing, you know, let's be John Robinson today, and we've been just trying to figure out what's going on with John Robinson and the Titans and what that picture's going to look like. You brought up the protection of seven forwards, Adam. Who do you suppose those would be? If right off the top of your head.
That's a good question. So, well, you'd have to assume Philip Forsberg would be number one on that list. I would put Luke Cunningham on that list just because they just traded for him and he's young, and you would hope that, you know, he could be a part of this team moving forward. If you're not trading Victor Arvidsson, I would put him on that list. Colton Sissons, I would put on that list. Callie Yarncroak, I would put on that list. The question is, do you protect Ryan Johansson and Matthew Shane, or do you hope that you can entice the Seattle Kraken into taking one of them by sweetening the deal, perhaps by trading one of those players that I mentioned to Seattle along with one of those high-priced centers?
And just for clarification purposes, the Predators don't have to protect Elli Tolvanen.
Correct. He is exempt.
He's the new UC Saros.
Right.
Yes, he is exempt.
You'll get asked so many times about him, though. Both you guys will.
Yes, but I believe a player like Rem Pitlick, for example, is eligible based on his age.
Yep.
So, you know, those are other things that you have to take into consideration. Another player who is eligible is Connor Ingram. So you will protect UC Saros in that expansion draft as the one goaltender, but Connor Ingram is eligible to be selected in the expansion draft. And though I don't think he would be selected because there will be more veteran experienced goaltenders available to Seattle, if you're looking to pick, you know, if you're looking to build a system, you know, you could do worse than Connor Ingram. So that's a good question. I mean, are there seven forwards worth protecting on this roster? and that's something that we'll have to reevaluate after the trade deadline.
Adam, last thing for you here. You came out with a great piece the other day on The Athletic talking to Pecorine, and we kind of floated the idea out here on the show. Like, if you're the Predators and you're David Poile, like, do you approach Pekka at some point and say, all right, would you be willing, or do you want to go maybe play for a contender if this is truly it, and maybe you're not coming back next year? Do you try to finish off your career with one more shot at the Stanley Cup? And you had a conversation with him about that earlier this week. What did you take away from that conversation, and what I guess do you think Pekka's mindset is to that as they move forward here?
Well, I wanted to talk to him just because we've seen so many examples throughout NHL history, and throughout sports, but specifically NHL history, of older players, old guys without a cup, as our Sean McIndoe likes to call them over at The Athletic. We've seen plenty of examples of that, of players who are associated with one franchise, you know, going to another team, a contending team at the deadline, and chasing a cup. The most famous example, of course, would be Ray Bourque winning the Stanley Cup in 2001 with the Colorado Avalanche. So no one would fault Pecorine for wanting to do that. He's 38 years old. He's been open about the fact that this could be his last season. The likelihood of this team making the playoffs is low. So if he wanted to give it one last shot, you know, I don't think any of us would blame him for that or hold that against him, but he doesn't appear to want to do that, and neither does the organization. One thing I was amazed by was in doing research for this story, I was looking at goaltenders who have played the most playoff games in NHL history without winning the Stanley Cup. And Pecorine is fourth on that list.
Yeah.
You know, the only goalies that have played more games without a cup in the playoffs, Curtis Joseph, Henrik Lundqvist, and Ron Hextall. Pecorine has played 89 playoff games and has not won a Stanley Cup. So if you're him, you know, like I said, I don't think any of us would hold it against him if he wanted to do that. But as he told me, he does not want to do that. He considers it a badge of honor to have only played for one franchise, and I think he wants to keep it that way.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Joins us every week here at 9:30 on Wednesdays. Adam, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, Joe, comb that hair.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Parting shot for Joe Retro on the way out the door.
You can adopt Kentucky. Oh, no. Oh, sorry, you can't.
Wow.
Never.
Tar Heels, baby. Tar Heels are in the tournament, aren't they? I think they are.
I will say one thing that my father did teach me, ABC, anybody but Carolina.
There you go. I like that. Adam Vingan's approach to the tournament coming up later this week. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Adam had to say there and get into some trade possibilities for the Predators as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to help you continue the tradition with a hockey home gating party, and it's time to text into the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile hockey home gate. Watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Just text the word Broadway to 615-737-1025. That's Broadway to 615-737-1025. Now to enter, the winner will be contacted on Thursday. You must be 21 or older to enter. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on Twitch, and on YouTube as well. So you can continue to check us out watching the show on social media, Periscope, Twitch, and YouTube. We'll be doing that for you tomorrow as well. So make sure you check in for that. Joey had Adam Vingan on from The Athletic in the last segment talking about some trade possibilities for the Predators. And Matthias Ekholm's name is a name that continues to come up in NHL circles. And Elliot Friedman has spent a whole lot of time kind of writing about Matthias Ekholm and talking about Matthias Ekholm, and was on his 31 Thoughts podcast with Jeff Merrick as well, talking about Matthias Ekholm and what his trade value could be and what that looks like for the Nashville Predators, and had some really interesting comments about the return for the Predators and what that could look like. And right now it looks like the asking price for the Predators is very high. First rounders involved, a couple of prospects involved as well, and basically has thrown out there that the template that the Predators are going by is the Jake Muzzin deal that happened a couple of years ago with Toronto, sending him from the LA Kings to the Toronto Maple Leafs. What do you think about that as a return? And do you agree with what Adam says, that if you're the Predators, you're not coming off that asking price?
Well, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. No, I mean, it's got to be substantial, and you should be able to – if the frenzy for Ekholm is as intense as everyone says it is out there, then you got to let the bidding war commence, yep. And you've got to end up with a haul. I don't know that I agree with Vingan, even though he's probably right, about like the absolute necessity of trading Ekholm. I just feel like Ekholm is a guy who could be a centerpiece of your team on the other side of this.
So I don't necessarily disagree with you, but if it's not him, who's it going to be?
Yeah, right. I knew that was the next question, and I'm not prepared to answer it, okay? Is the show over yet? I don't have an answer.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you're not going to move him, then you starting to look at Forsberg? Like, who are you moving who brings back a massive haul? Because you have to. You have to get value out of this stuff. You know, we were talking last segment about Granlund, maybe a second-round pick coming back for him. Is Granlund right now – let's give me a comparison of Granlund's attractiveness on the market right now to Ryan Hartman's attractiveness on the market as of the trading deadline 2018.
Well, the deadline itself, I think, is going to be different because you're not going to have as many – people willing to give up big prices with the salary cap being what it is.
Yep.
But Granlund is a lot better than Ryan Hartman ever was, and the Predators paid a first-round pick to get Ryan Hartman.
So I'm just saying, is it absolutely out of the realm of possibility that you get a first-rounder for Granlund?
No, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I think what you're hoping for there would be putting two teams against each other in a bidding war. But I think, you know, a team like Toronto makes a lot of sense for Mikhail Granlund. He could come in, he could play on your first line with Austin Matthews, he could play with John Tavares. You could even put him on the third line and put him at center if you really wanted to. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that you could get a first-round pick for him, no. But if I had to guess, second round would be the return.
You need some, you know, you need some breaks like that, you know. If you're going to do this, you need some breaks. But I mean, Ekholm is just, it's a painful one to part with.
Yeah, it is.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kathy, who wants to weigh in on the Nashville Predators. Kathy, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Rupp.
Thanks, guys. Great show this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy.
I have to agree with Joe. I don't want to trade Matthias Ekholm. I think he should stay right where he is. That's just my opinion. I think he's a good centerpiece, like you said, Joe, to build. But my question is for you guys, and especially Robbie, since you're around it more and you're more familiar, is why would you protect Colton Sissons instead of Ryan Johansson? For me, I mean, maybe I'm missing something, and maybe I don't know as much about hockey as I think I do, but he has done nothing, Colton Sissons.
Well, thanks for the call, Kathy. I think the idea behind it would be you were trying to get Seattle to take one of those two big contracts.
It's a money move.
It's not necessarily because Colton Sissons is coming here and he's lighting it up right now.
He did have a hat trick to get to the Stanley Cup final.
He did, but you can't live on that forever. I mean, but his contract, I mean, he's here long term, and the money is not much. What's it, like a little bit over $2 million
right. I mean,
for Colton Sissons?
Is Colton Sissons not earning his salary with this team?
I'd say he is. I mean, it's all about relative to expectations as well. So, look, I don't think Ryan Johansson, I think if you're leaving him unprotected, it's to try and get Seattle to take on that salary. That's the reason for it. Nobody's saying that Johansson is not a better player than Colton Sissons, because he is. But if you're leaving Johansson unprotected and Matt Duchene unprotected, it would be to try to convince Seattle to take one of those long contracts off your hands.
But to Kathy's point, too, I mean, it is, and we've talked about this, like you spent all this time trying to get those guys. You got them. Now you can't wait to unload them. You know, I think this is where, you know, this team may be out of it, although Matt Duchene, you know, still talking about that fourth spot today earlier, but the rest of the season, to me, that's part of what we're looking at too, right? Is how they perform, how they respond in this situation, if they produce. Because, look, they are not producing anywhere near what other people who make similar salaries or in similar spots on teams make. Not even close. But you're still – what's your replacement? You know, like, is it a non-starter? Like, are you sure – that one or both won't in the future?
Yeah, that's the decision you've got to make. And you're not going to get them to take both of them, so you're going to be stuck with one at least for the foreseeable future.
Who would you keep right now if that was your choice? You're David Poile. You were John Robinson earlier on the show, now you're David Poile.
Probably Johansson, because he's a little bit younger and you've seen him do it in this uniform before. But I think it's close. I mean, we're going on a sample size right now that's pretty big for both of them, not being as productive as they need to be. So, an interesting choice coming up for the Nashville Predators. That's going to do it for us today.
Good job, Poyle.
Here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. Wesley Woodyard joining the show at 11 o'clock, so make sure you stay tuned for that. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
FinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit FinQuest.com for more details.